WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flap with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night. You know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, Twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. I am the producer, Sir Rockin, joined as always by Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, it's time to review wrestling.
Stupendously.
Yes. Is it still stupendous?
I don't know. It's WrestleMania. I mean, you should probably just call it stupendous. And...
Right.
I don't know.
Next year, that will be part of the marquee, the stupendous WrestleMania backlash. It'll be on the title.
Should be.
Part of the graphic.
Should be. It really should be. Someone should look into it. We also have the intern.
So... we're here for the WrestleMania review of WrestleMania Backlash on WrestleMania WTR. They just add WrestleMania to everything now, don't they?
Something like that. Yeah. And then there is the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It is the WrestleMania Backlash edition of WrestleMania WTR. They add WrestleMania to everything. Why can't we? Right?
Sure.
Why not?
All right, we're going to fill chat in. We'll talk about the quote-unquote injury here in a little bit. Okay?
Oh, it's a quote-unquote injury?
It's a quote-unquote injury.
I quote-unquote get it. Before we dive into the pay-per-view tonight, WrestleMania Backlash, I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there. One or two of them might be tuned in and listening tonight.
Happy Mother's Day, mothers. Happy Mother's Day to those tuning in and those not tuning in and those who may never hear this. We're still thinking of you.
We're still saying Happy Mother's Day to you, even though, you know, you don't even know we exist because we're just, you know, nice people like that.
We are.
Yes, of course we are.
Like Mr. T, we all appreciate our mothers and all mothers out there.
Keishi, Kane is coming out for you right now. Just letting you know. So wrap it up.
I said Mr. T, not Pete Rose. Mr. T.
But to wrap it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's coming out to tell you to wrap it up.
Anyway, we're here to talk about WrestleMania Backlash. This was a fun show.
There was nothing wrong with it. It was entertaining. You know, the weakest match on the card, in my opinion, was Madcap and Happy. But, then again, I've never been a Corbin fan and don't really enjoy his matches as a whole. That said, that wasn't even a hugely bad match.
No, it was worked really well. It was fundamentally solid. And that's all you can really. I mean, that's what it was. They did everything fundamentally solid. It wasn't spectacular. It wasn't bad. It was solid.
It did what it needed to.
I'm sure it was everything that everybody expected it to be.
Nothing
more, maybe nothing less.
If you went in expecting like a 5-star classic from these two, no offense, you really need to get your expectations checked.
I love how you qualify that by saying no offense. You realize that anytime somebody says no offense, somebody going to take offense.
So for those aware or did not see the show, Madcap Moss beat Happy Corbin, so Happy's no longer happy. He's probably a little sad.
Was he ever really happy?
More
is,
like
is he now just? Are they now just going to call him the Bald Wolf?
No, he just gets Corbin.
They got that little chant going, or Madcap got that chant kind of going during the pre-show.
Yeah, he told a joke on the pre-show. He also told it on SmackDown, I believe. So it's catching on, I guess. Who knows? But yeah, so that match happened. It was fundamentally solid. That's the best descriptor I can give it. I don't know. Is there anything you want to add about that match that this would describe it any differently? Cool. No responses. Thanks. Appreciate each and every one of you. Okay.
It was, no offense, it was Corbin versus Moss. What's there really to say?
Okay. Then there's Lashley and Omos.
Yeah, two big beefy boys. Omos needs a little more work.
I wouldn't say this was fundamentally sound.
Or solid.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like they obviously made the decision consciously to give Omos a few more things to do to see kind of where he's at, which is, I mean, in the position that he's in, it's kind of like one of those, you know, did they bring him up too soon without seasoning him? Yeah. But at the end of the day, they did it. So you kind of got to push him a little bit and make him do a little bit more so that he will get better. Just kind of keep having him sit there and do the same couple moves over and over again, he's going to get stale fast.
Yeah, with this match, really the only I don't want to call it a botch, but missed spot, I guess. There was only one really that I caught.
And what was that?
When Omos was tossing Bobby Lashley, and Bobby didn't quite land the way he should have. It almost looked like it was supposed to be like an overhead slam from behind. And Bobby wound up landing sort of on his hand, like with his arm outstretched, as opposed to actually being able to flip completely over onto his back.
Whatever.
Which, again, it didn't really detract.
If you caught it. If you didn't, it really didn't take away from the match at all.
Yeah, no, even though I caught it, it still didn't take away from what this match was. And it's like, well, what Keishi was saying is they're giving him a little bit more to do, and they're pushing him just to, you know, like pushing him a little further to see what if he's capable of it.
It's going to be interesting to see who he's paired up with next.
Yeah. Well, and props to Lashley for, you know, what he did in this match. He tried to tell that story of trying to overcome those odds. I thought he did a pretty good job as far as that was concerned, and who knows what it could have looked like against somebody else. So, like, I mean, you know, Lashley was a good key factor in this match, putting him together with Omos and giving him that second match, especially when they're pushing him to do some extra stuff, is good. Because, you know, Lashley's a good wrestler, and if you want to test the waters with someone, you want to put them with someone who can work.
You said
he can do that.
You said overcome the odds. We already saw him overcome the odds once, so this should have been, like, him trying to see if he can overcome the odds should have been the first match, not the second, in terms of
That's a booking thing, not a wrestling thing.
No, not a wrestling thing. No, I'm saying, from a booking standpoint, since they've gone now 50-50, like, the first one should have gone to Omos, and the second one should have gone to Lashley. Now, we're here, and we'll probably get one more in 4 weeks?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, probably.
So, the nice thing about the one thing about them doing it this way is having MVP in that corner, you can kind of like, that's where you can kind of go, well, I mean, Omos won the second match, even though from a booking standpoint, it should have gone both ways. But this time he had quote unquote help, whether it be from like a advisory position of a manager or the fact that he got involved. So that still kind of saves Lashley, especially with kind of how they finished this match.
Omos got the win in this one. Yeah, anything else we need to add about it?
I don't think so.
All right, now let's talk about some of the matches that pretty much stole the show.
The opening one?
The opening one? Go ahead.
And, of course, Edge and AJ.
I don't know. I don't know if that stole the show.
Well,
I don't know if that quite got there. I think the women actually outshined AJ and Edge this time around.
Ronda and Charlotte outshone Edge and AJ?
Yeah.
I will admit that their match, their I Quit match, was 1,000 times better than what we got at WrestleMania. But I think this is going to boil down to personal preference.
No, and it always does. That's the thing. But yeah. That, to me, the women's match was above AJ and Edge, and Cody and Seth was above them all in terms of in the singles matches.
Well, I tweeted out like 3/4 of the way through the opening match. How do you feel if you're in the locker room? How would you feel having to go out there and follow this up?
I think they did a pretty good job. Look at the main event.
Yeah, you can look at that one of two ways for sure.
The main event delivered, that's for sure. All right, but let's talk about AJ and Edge. We'll start there. Reaction, Tim?
They both showed extremely good, savvy ring psychology throughout pretty much the entire match. Something like that always, and it shouldn't nowadays, but when I see that, it always impresses me. And these two did a damn good job going back to old school ring psychology. I mean, Edge continually working on that left shoulder of AJ and having the announce team just sell that really, really helped the enjoyment, the entertainment factor. That makes any sense. And then, of course, AJ turning around and attacking Edge's left leg.
They worked a really smart match. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. Highly entertaining. Finish of the match was actually not anything I could really call a surprise at all. I don't think it was a surprise to anybody who's following this storyline. Yeah, I know everybody knew that Rhea Ripley was going to be joining this this new brood or whatever they're going to call them. They call themselves
Judgment Day.
Judgment Day, but I took a lot. You know, I took a little bit of fun on Twitter saying I called that last week on the webcast. So,
well, I mean, yeah, and as soon as she kind of hit the ring, you could tell it was her.
Well, her pants. You could tell those
exactly.
Were her pants. And her boots.
Well, ooh.
Not even that. Like, the funny thing is, with the face covered and the hoodie, when she came out, it's just like, you forget how big Rhea is. And then when she's standing there with Edge, you're just like, oh, okay then.
Amazon.
Like, you see her with the women, and it's like, yeah, she's imposing. But then when you see her sitting there, like I said, with Edge, and I mean, Edge is no small guy. He's decent size.
Yep.
And then like her shoulders and everything next to it, you're just like, oh yeah, yeah, she's a big girl in a good way.
And the real fun thing about this is once you get Priest in there standing beside them, they'll all be lined up by height.
Edge looks like he's dropping off his kids at Hot Topic, okay? Let's just call this group what it is. But to be fair, we did get Darth Rhea tonight in her black gear and black hair. And that's not bad at all. It's a good, or it's a nice change from, you know, separating her from her previous incarnation.
100%.
So visually, you're going to get that different aspect of it. And it's kind of like Priest. He's had a little bit of a change. He's more in kind of like the formal wear, kind of like Edge for the most part. But they're starting to turn Judgment Day into a really imposing group, because you've got Damian Priest, who's a big guy. You've got Edge, who's the mastermind of the group. And then you've got Rhea, who is the biggest woman in the women's division. And now you've kind of given them all a purpose together, because she had been kind of in drawing forth that idea of like she was tired of being held back by others. And now Edge is going to kind of infuse that individuality into her and make her a little more dangerous.
Yeah. And I'm kind of excited to see from like a character standpoint, how she's going to improve. Because when she was like NXT UK as a heel, she did very good, but now she's teamed up with Edge, who has a wealth of knowledge and will only make her better.
I just love the look she had at the end of the segment where she was like talking with Edge, and you can tell she was really excited.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we've had a male-female, like, stable-ish thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it'll present a bunch of different dynamics, because also, with Rhea and her size, she's not going to be afraid to get in the ring with someone like AJ. Now, they won't have matches against them, but if they have that bit of physicality between, you know, her AJ, her Finn, it's going to be believable.
Well, yeah, she's big enough to be able to ragdoll either one of them, or both. One in each arm.
So Edge was able to get the victory in this matchup. with help from Rhea. Damian ran out. Wouldn't you know it? Finn ran out too. I mean,
yep.
Bullet Club.
Well, you got, with Damian's run out, you got to love how he stopped short. And he was, you know, AJ's complaining that he wasn't supposed to be at ringside. And Damian's like, I'm not past that line. I didn't cross that line.
The funny thing is, though, with the camera set up, you knew exactly what was coming. Because it wasn't the camera facing Damian. It was that over the shoulder where it's like, we're not going to show you what's coming, but you can hear the fans telegraphing what is coming. And so you're just like, okay, I'm waiting for a flying Finn in 3, 2. Yep, there he is. And then, of course, they spill into the ring and the referee just absolutely loses track of everything at that point. But overall, it was really good. The psychology of the match was really good. Yeah, can't really complain on this one.
Yeah, no, and it furthered the storyline completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you look at everything else on the card, like, they were smart to build that match the way they did because it was a little bit different from everything else. And it's nice to have variety on a show so you don't just watch the same style of match over and over again.
That's it. We're getting a 6-person mixed gender tag team in a cell, right? That's where this is going.
Yeah, but also whatever has to be hanging from a ladder.
Hanging from a ladder?
Yeah, hanging from a ladder.
A ladder on a pole match?
Yeah. Or they'll do their own like X Division style match, but instead of ropes on top, it'll be all interconnecting ladders. Mm-hmm. So they have more things that are stable to stand on.
Like scaffold ladders.
Yes, but in a cell.
That would be
scaffold in a cell.
Scaffold in a cell. Ooh.
Do not intimidate or don't intimate the fact that we may get like the triple cell back.
I was just about to say something about the triple cell. They can dig that out of storage. They can dig it out of storage.
Triple T of Cage for the win.
What was that, Rock?
Triple T of Cage for the win.
There we go.
All right. The SmackDown Women's title was on the line. Charlotte Flair defended against Ronda Rousey. Your take, Brent.
I have one complaint about this match, and it's what I talked about last week. Every single time someone went down to the mat, you had the person going, ask them. And I'm like, no, because you had like 5 seconds of grunt and then just no. Okay. It happens every time they do an I Quit match. Save it for the bigger spots, for the love of God. But overall, I enjoyed this match, at least the physicality of it, because it ramped up what they did before at WrestleMania. It's like at WrestleMania, it was kind of the attraction of Charlotte versus Ronda. And now it was, who's going to take a body part of their opponent home with them? And it really did kind of up the physicality. The kendo spots were all right. You kind of knew what was coming with those.
Is it just me, or did them falling off the corner of the ring onto the floor look a little bit painful?
Well, for part of that spot, Charlotte was trying to, you know, keep the show PG.
It's not as painful as you think, because if you watch Ronda, she planted herself before the fall. She put her arm right on the mat, and you saw her planting herself for the fall. But I thought that spot was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a good match for the women's title. I don't think you could complain about that, Tim.
I don't believe I registered a complaint.
This was a transition to you to talk about the match. Go.
I don't think I was registering a complaint. Did I not call this match 1,000 times better than what we got at WrestleMania?
I never said you had a complaint. Just talk about
it. Yeah, I know. Answer my question. Did I say this match was 1,000 times better than what we got at WrestleMania?
I think everyone knows it was 100 times better than WrestleMania.
Yeah, a thousand times better.
Whatever.
you know, the fact is that's a fairly fairly true statement. The fact that it was like an I Quit with no DQ or anything else like that helped hide all of the all of that extra rust and Ronda's weaknesses compared to somebody who's as much as I'm sick and tired of Charlotte, I have to give her due. She's a hell of a grappler. She's damn good in the ring. And yes, it does pain me to admit that to an extent. one of the things that was appreciated was the callback with the kendo sticks. Mm-hmm. I did as a fan of wrestling, I did appreciate that. And I was like, okay, good.
So what also probably helped this match, they worked together all throughout the European tour.
Yeah. Getting a little bit of extra reps, getting a little bit of, you know, working the match through a little bit is always beneficial.
More familiarity with each other.
Well, and especially for Ronda having been away for so long, just being able to get reps in general is good for her.
I think we're all going to enjoy the lovely return of the house show loops.
Yep, they just announced 30-something dates for house shows.
The
summer tour. So they're going back out. They're going to keep it going. So there's a lot of trash talk in this one, which was highly entertaining. But in the end, we have a brand new SmackDown Women's Champion in Ronda Rousey.
I just love Charlotte's the last bit right before the finish of Happy Mother's Day, Ronda, and that's what just set her off.
That was great.
Like, nope, you're going down now, bitch.
The setup. Yeah,
You want to put a lady in another gear?
The setup to the finish was enjoyable. When they held the mic to Charlotte, you know, the equate. No, Ron. I was hoping you'd say that, bitch.
Yeah. So this is where Charlotte Flair suffered the fracture of the radius. In quotations.
Okay, there you go. Storyline.
Well, they did the medical update before the main event. Fracture of the radius. Which could be conveniently hidden by wedding photos.
I was going to say, we would like to congratulate Charlotte Flair on her pending nuptials.
So, there's that.
So here's the question. Who's Ronda's first challenger? Because you've got Sasha and Naomi tied up in the tag, unless you have them drop the belts this upcoming week. Probably don't want to burn Shayna yet.
Sonya Deville.
I can see Sonya sticking her nose in there at some point, but
Ronda's going to put her head over the mantle if it's Sonya.
Yeah, but it's my learned belief that the optimum next opponent would be Natty, and there's a very good reason why I say Natty, and it's not because she's a friend. It's not because, oh, you're Canadian, you're a homer, you're from Calgary, blah, blah. That's not the reason. Brent, do you have any idea why I'm pegging Natty?
Because she's a good worker.
She could rustle air and make the molecules look good.
Yeah, but aren't her and Shayna still a tag team and going after
Sasha and Naomi? When has that ever stopped them from...
Because they're currently in the middle of a storyline, though.
Yeah, I know that, but that's never stopped them from doing a one-off.
Also, Natty's too busy on NXT, too, working with all the developmental kids. She shouldn't have to do it with everybody.
I have someone else, though.
Okay.
Someone who can also work with people, make them look good. Someone who could return and be a nice surprise.
Do they want to start that right away, though? Or do they want to save that for SummerSlam?
Let him finish his thought before you get into it.
No, Casey knows who he's talking about.
People listening might not. That's my point.
So, Brent, answer the question. Do you save it for later? Because you have stadium shows. Do you worry about building to the big match for the stadium show and forgo Hell in a Cell? Because we didn't see the Raw Women's title online tonight, so you can always swap it and save the big Ronda first match for Money in the Bank in the stadium.
Yeah.
With your selected opponent.
Yeah, you don't have to necessarily feature Ronda all the time. I think, and plus I think if this person, and in case you don't know who I'm talking about, ding dong, hello. if you bring her out, that's instant credibility in a first opponent. Why? Because if you remember, she was the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion at one point. And if she comes back from injury to face her, much like someone else came back from injury to face a big name. It'll get people talking. It'll get people very interested in what's going on SmackDown.
It's quite possible. So we'll have to see. The opener for the show was Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins, Casey.
Yeah, that was hella fun.
Yeah, wasn't it?
It's a shame that they have to put like Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes in the curtain jerk spot.
Yeah, but I mean that sets the pace for this
premium live event.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying people were complaining about the fact that, you know, oh, he's this big free agent signing and they have him in an opening match. Yeah, and he tore the damn house down.
100%.
There's a reason why Seth has opened up WrestleManias. Why? Because the second he does, like with the Intercontinental title match years ago.
Through the roof.
You just go, okay, so this is what we're going to expect now. There's nothing wrong with this match. If they want to do it again, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, and also when you have like, in WWE standards, when you have like a pretty tight six match event, going on first is not that big of a deal.
Mm-mm.
They always say like, go on first or go on last.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have some of those other matches that are exactly what you expect them to be. You don't want to have those first or last. It's good to have them in the middle to give the crowd a break. So you can basically run the event like a match. You have your ups, you have your downs. You give people a little bit of a break. Then you ramp them up again. There's nothing wrong with doing that.
Well, Keisha, you've had your fair share of opening matches at shows over the years. Have you ever looked at that as oh, it's just those guys, or have you felt the pressure of delivering to heat up the crowd for the rest of the night?
I wouldn't necessarily call it pressure in delivering. When I'm in those positions, I'm more of a let's go out there and set this pace. Because if you can set the pace and get that crowd into it and going, not like crazy into it going right away, then it makes it easier for all the matches following to keep that crowd's interest.
Yeah. For people, there might be one or two people by now still out there listening who don't realize it, Keisha, you used to wrestle for me. And I have to admit, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I was always happy when we booked you to open up the show.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there were times in my career where I didn't think about my position on the show from this perspective, but most people kind of do that when you start out. You just kind of figure, oh, okay, well, I mean, obviously there are more seasoned guys on the card, so yeah, you want to put them further up the card. And then as I progressed and gained more experience in my career, when you realize that spot is great for setting the pace, not only from a perspective as a wrestler, but any sort of performance art similar to this, you know, you want to having someone in the front of that to set the pace. There's nothing wrong with that because it gets that crowd going and it pulls them in. Yeah. And the guys later on don't have to work as hard to pull them to get the crowd as invested. They can just start getting that story going. They can just set that pace hard from the get-go.
Yeah. Like decades and decades ago, being put into the opening match meant you were brand spanking new and green, or you didn't, the promoter, the booker didn't have any faith in you. That changed a little while back, and you know, it's like being honored in a lot of cases when you open a show, like you're getting a pat on the back from the guy who's writing the shows and running the shows.
Yep. And I mean, you'll still see every once in a while, you know, depending on, it also depends on like the roster that you have working that night. If you have a solid group of guys that can fill all of the spots, then yeah, you go with good guys to set the pace, especially if you're working a town that you regularly work. You don't want to keep that same match order formula that you always want to do. You want to change it up to keep people coming back. I can see, you know, if you go somewhere once every 6 months, stuff like that, then yeah, you can kind of, if you've got some newer guys on the card, then you maybe want to start them early and you can kind of do like a gradual build up pace on an out of town crowd like that. It just, it's very situational.
Mm-hmm. But the bigger shows, if you're opening them up, I mean, like, take it as a pat on the back.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of what they did with Seth, like, and Cody.
Yeah. You've booked them, like just looking at indie events, you've booked Demolition to come in and main event your place. And then you're designated to open up the show leading up to them being in the main event. I mean, that's a little bit higher profile than heavy metal taking on Steven Styles for the title in the main event. Yeah. Not to drop names, but you know.
Yeah.
In Indie Wrestling Alberta.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, Cody and Seth were put out there to set the pace, and they set a hell of a pace.
It's always good when you have two of the workers who actively want to prove that they're the best in the locker room at one time, trying to one up each other in a match.
Yep.
And also, it's great to see this kind of storyline progressing with Seth trash talking Cody the whole time, and also as the announcers put over the kind of psychology that, starting off, Seth now saw Cody. He knows the tendencies. And so there were counters to all the things Cody was trying to do at the very beginning.
Yeah, those are really good subtle calls.
Right, and then it was kind of like, okay, what does Cody need to do moving forward? Because now, yeah, your opponent knows. And so there was back and forth. And I loved the ending because it showed the resourcefulness of Cody. It not that he's going to be a super babyface, but it's also like, okay, you were trying to do this. I'm going to beat you at your own game.
Yeah, and a finish like that, you know, leaves room for if they want to keep going with this, they can, because Seth can come in after and be like, I lost, but here's why. And also the fact that it was, you know, a quick pin, not a definitive finisher pin, that leaves it open for, well, I almost had you. You didn't really, like, put me away. It was close. Let's figure this out. They can escalate it further if they really want to.
You couldn't beat me without, you know, cutting a corner.
Yeah.
And you can start to have Seth unravel a little more like he did at the end of the match. Because you saw that little tint of it when he's, you know, screaming at the referee. Like, you did this. And so, are we going to see him go a little more kind of crazy in the fact that Cody's gotten his number twice? And how is he going to kind of get it back? And, of course, this also very much protects Seth, because if he had eaten a finisher pin, people would have complained that, you know, he was being buried.
Yeah, this is good. I'm excited to see where this goes.
We'll see where it goes starting tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. The main event of this show featured the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and the Usos taking on RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre.
Roman is such a dick. It is hilarious. Building up to that first tag.
Tag in, tag out.
Well, not even that. Just like, you want me? You really want to do this? And Drew standing there just nodding yes and just hyped up. And I just love Paul screaming the whole time, like, don't give this to them. You know, you're the tribal chief. You're not for them. What are you doing? And Roman tags in and he does his walk around. Yeah. And then it's just the nonchalant tag and like, I'm not going to do this. And just the fans ate it up and they were just booing the shit out of him. This heel
he
character.
Knows what he's doing.
This heel character, he has embraced it and he just runs with it so well. And boy, it's a shame Randy was not over tonight. From the introduction to any time in the match to when he got the hot tag himself, the fans were just dead silent for the Viper.
And the crowd goes mild.
But the most excited person for Randy Orton tonight wasn't the crowd in Providence. It was Michael Cole.
Yes, it was.
Because he finally got to drop his favorite line of all time, Vintage Orton.
That was pretty funny. Graves is being like, I ain't even going to walk over you on this one.
Graves like, just go, Michael. Just go. Just do it. But it was a very good interplay between the guys. I liked at the very introduction when, so Drew comes out, does his intro, and then you had Randy and Riddle come out, and Randy gets in the ring and he's kind of telling Drew like, okay, watch out for a second. Matt does his jump in, and then Randy's like, you want to pose? Drew's like, sure. And he does the double bicep while Randy does his normal, and Riddle's sitting there just, you know, on the knee. It's just three bros just hanging out on a Sunday night.
You're getting ready to have a good time.
But it was a really good match between them. You had the Usos working well, showing what they are as a tag team. You had Drew coming in as a powerhouse, but still, you know, like when he faced Roman or when he, you know, when the Usos needed to get some spots in, took it like a champ and made them look good.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, this was everybody did a very good job in all this.
Like at one point, Randy went for the sword and Drew's like, sure, go. Take a sling on him. I don't care. And I can't remember if it was Jimmy or Jay, but I think they saw their life flash before their eyes for a split second because Randy Orton with any form of weapon is just not a good thing.
No. I mean, he's dangerous enough.
With a screwdriver?
Yeah. Or, you know, a light person in an announce table.
One of the Bollywood boys in the announce table. He's very yes. dangerous with that respect.
Anybody from 205 Live in the announce table.
God.
I want to say it was Jay. I want to give props. He can land a super kick from anywhere. Like there was one time I want to say it was Riddle and they were too close, but he still managed to just like, it didn't matter whether he was too close, too far. He always landed right on the mark.
Yeah. The spot where it was, he lands the super kick and Riddle came back with that just flying knee immediately. God, it just looked vicious between the two of them.
Yeah, there are some really good sequences towards the end of this match when they were coming towards the end. Everybody going move for move.
Randy Orton said, screw your super kick and gave the RKO.
Yep.
Finally, someone proves the super kick is not that vicious anymore. And it was Randy Orton.
Well, I mean, when you see how many they do.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought at one point we were going to get a double Claymore spot.
Oh, yeah, when Jay was getting Jimmy up for the double super kick.
Yeah.
I thought that was coming too, but then they hit it.
I wanted Drew to hit the double Claymore and then do the kip up.
Oh, yeah.
Because the crowd would have just gone apeshit, and that's when you have Roman just spear him. And then, yes! Oh!
That would have been good too.
But all the spots worked out well. A tiny bit surprised, I would say, that the Bloodline won, because I thought this is where they could have taken a loss and it wouldn't have hurt them. But at the same time, I also can see, you know, yes, it's the Bloodline. They pick up the win. And since it wasn't Drew, he still looks strong in it.
Yep. And it gives, I mean, that still allows them, if they want to still do like the tag team unification at the next event, they can.
Or they just drop it entirely, which is probably more likely what's going to happen.
It's probably more likely that they'll forget it, but I mean if they do decide going further, they want to do it, you know,
there's an opportunity down the road. You can always call back to this and set it up from there.
Just imagine the Usos versus Riddle and Orton in the cell.
Oh geez.
Could be fun.
Because you know the Usos know the cell pretty well, and Randy, we have some experience with him and what he likes to do inside those caged walls.
Indeed.
Riddle just being an idiot, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be able to scale that cage really well with all that toe-grabbing action.
I mean, Riddle is a cage fighter, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other thing. Put him in there and then add just a little bit of viciousness into it. Like, oh yeah, this is where I belong.
Hey, Randy. I used to do this cage stuff all the time.
So Brain's
like, yeah, sure, okay. And then all of a sudden he gets in there and he's like, oh, never mind.
As Brent mentioned, the Bloodline ended up walking out victorious, as they say. Are they the greatest faction of all time?
They might be the most winningest faction of all time.
I think they might be the greatest family faction of all time.
Yes.
Oh, that's one to hold a conversation about.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple family factions you could talk about, but
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, can't figure it out at all.
Maybe a topic for next week. Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe. Maybe we'll talk about it. So that's the pay-per-view. That was WrestleMania Backlash that aired on the WWE Network and on the Peacock. Brent has some housekeeping to get through.
Oh, yeah, hang on. Oh, darn it. I had it. Oh, now it's closed. Give me a second.
Oh, while he's doing that, I would like to give WWE some props on the slow-mo replay of the Pele kick onto Edge's head.
That was good, yeah.
The Contact.
Can I give props to somebody who wasn't at the pay-per-view tonight, but she posted on Twitter right after Edge and AJ?
Beth?
No. Oh. Liv Morgan.
Oh.
Three-word tweet. What a bitch. Like, tweet of the night, Liv.
Nice.
Do you wonder where that's going to go? So, we have our results from Pick'em.
Ooh, drum roll.
First off, listeners, if you want to play Pick'em, anytime there's a pay-per-view, feel free to submit picks. Please, submit picks. So for tonight, in last place, going 2-4, we have Rob.
He tried.
You'll get him next time.
In 10th place, we have, at 3-3, Derek and the Wheel.
Hey.
Can we say Derek tried?
No, you can say the Wheel tried.
No, okay. He's been trying for years. Anyway, continue.
In tied for 7th place at 4-2, Tommy, Sub, and me.
Okay.
I had a match or two going another way. It just did not work out well. In 4th place, we have Team Rack, which is Rock, Lindsay, and the 8-Ball.
Hey.
And in 1st place, we have Tim, Sheila, and our ultimate winner, Casey.
Why am I the ultimate winner?
Because you were first alphabetically.
Up. Oh, yay!
Because
alphabetically better.
Yep, there we go.
So there you go. I think that does it, Tim.
Very, very impressive. Congratulations, Casey and Sheila, for tying with me, going 6-0 for the WWE special event.
Premium live event.
Well, yeah, you know, special event, premium live event. The next pay-per-view is in June, and it will be Hell in a Cell. And we got what, like 4 weeks?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, so. But a whole lot of stuff happening between now and the next pay-per-view, starting tomorrow night with the post-show immediately following Raw.
Raw post-show live, 11 p.m. Eastern.
And, yeah, you got our take on the pay-per-view tonight, but you didn't get Lindsay's, and you will get Lindsay's on Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, when she hosts another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rock Radio Show with The Rock. I mean, Rock.
We'll live back in our normal time slot Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. All the news from the last 2 weeks and a full breakdown of WrestleMania Backlash, 10 p.m. Eastern this Thursday.
Oh, why don't you just play some Fortnite and talk people into using the creator code Rock and Sock?
Yeah, Saturday nights, right before CB Radio, we do the Fortnite with friends. Casey stopped by. He saw some things he liked. He saw he saw the Doctor Strange stuff and all the Star Wars.
Shink, shink, shink.
Oh, speaking of Doctor Strange, took in $200 million yesterday.
Fantastic.
In which universe?
The Mirror Universe.
Oh, wonderful.
But yeah, as Tim mentioned, you can use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite. I'm Chap Hashtag Epic Partner. And Saturday night is CB Radio, CBRadio.com, Greater Than Great Debate.com. Last night we did SNL characters. This week, I forget what we're doing. We're doing something. Tune in Saturday night, midnight-ish.
SNL characters?
Yeah.
Like Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Like all time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Where did Samurai Whoever place? Or did you guys even have him on the list?
Samurai was on the list.
Nothing better than the John Belushi Samurai skits.
Don't think he won.
Don't think he won, no.
He should have. Absolutely, he should have. Anyway, that being said, follow us on social media for any and all updates on any and everything.
Yeah, it's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com says Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday night on the Facebooks and the Twitters.
Absolutely. Speaking about Twitters, you can follow me not once, but at least twice. You can follow me at Flames Forms. We're going to be paying a lot of attention to the NHL playoffs. I've got the Edmonton-Los Angeles game on TV in the background right now. Second intermission, 2-0 for Los Angeles over Edmonton if they can hold on to win, they tie the series. But, yeah, I'll be posting about wrestling, and I'll be telling the dumb bad dad jokes and stuff like that. But also, if you're in the Calgary area and you're interested in handyman work and general repairs and stuff like that, follow me at Tim's_toolbox on Twitter. If you haven't followed me there yet, start doing it, because I'm firing up my posting on that. Again, it's going to be a busy summer, I think. So follow me there. You should follow Casey.
Yeah, I'm on social media sometimes. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. There are also links to an online merchandise store. If you feel like supporting me monetarily, you can go take a look at my designs and put them on things like t-shirts and coffee cups and mouse pads. I've got Akechi Matsunaga Facebook page as well, for those of us who still use Facebook.
What's Facebook?
Exactly, which is why I don't mention it that often, but I thought I would for funsies. That's all I got.
Old people are on Facebook.
My grandma's on Facebook.
I told you.
Yeah.
You know, you can follow the intern on Twitters.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kitten. That's where I make friends and discuss any kind of random thing I want to. Casey, can you get a noodle bowl with your logo?
No, but I do sell bento boxes at my shows with a logo on it.
Nice.
Yeah, but I don't know if those are worth shipping long distances. I would have to check. I feel like those are sold at my own premium live events.
That being said, yeah, we're back next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern for another edition of W2Hour Sunday Night. That being said, have yourselves a great week, guys.
WildTalkRadio.com.